Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope you're all keeping well, doing well. Are you looking forward to the new year? Well, I'm looking forward to it because I know what's going to happen. No, just teasing. At the beginning of the year, I always like to seek God and ask God to give me something for the church to set us, give us a fresh, not a new vision in terms of our vision changes. It's not going to change. We know what God has called us to as a church. But just to focus our minds, put some faith in our heart and our spirit for what he wants to do in us and through us and with you and through you and with me and through me in more of a focused, specific way during the year. Now, many of you will remember when we bought this building how I raved about the car park. And so many of you took the mickey out of me because this car park, to have a car park like this, is an absolute dream. And in our last building, and I'm so grateful for the other building we have in Penlan, the hall was too small to really grow, and the car park was too small to get the people who were already coming along in. And so one of the things about this building, and really sold it to me in a sense, and I got so excited about it, was the car park, and I felt so blessed. I don't know if you've ever been blessed over a car park, but I really felt blessed because I knew how important it was to get the right car park. And I remember sitting there in that seat when we had our first meeting, and it was a leaders' meeting with New Wine Cymru Conference, and we had about 600 people streaming through the doors here. And I turned around and looked at people coming in. I just heard the whisper of God. And I heard this. He said, "See what I have given you." And I felt blessed. I felt moved emotionally, full of gratitude of the faithfulness, and was in awe of God and his kindness. And after the first opening song, I think I turned to Adam and said, "This place is too small." Because we have chairs over there and everything. But I felt so blessed because of what God had given. And in 2017, I believe that God wants you. Sorry, 2018. Correct me along this. Please feel free to correct me. I'll probably make this mistake a few times during the course of this talk. But in 2018, I believe God wants you to have a similar experience in your life. It will come to you in different ways, but I believe with all my heart, God wants you to feel touched and moved with gratitude and gratefulness and awe, and that you know that you have been blessed by God. That you know that you've been blessed by him. And as we were praying, and as I was praying in for this New Year's talk, and what was it that you wanted to say, I said, "Lord, give me a vision, a word, a picture. Give me something from you for 2018. And immediately, without hesitation, in my spirit, I saw a set of gates opening up into a wide open space. Just a little bit like that there, but there was two gates. I couldn't find one on the internet with two gates that opened up. There was two gates similar to that that opened up into wide, vast, green, open spaces. I found it really encouraging when Sean texts me, "What's your theme for Sunday morning? I've got this open space, cleared space, this very, very similar picture in a different way." But I felt the Lord was saying this, that he was opening up spaces, wide spaces, good spaces for us, removing fences and removing barriers, and inviting you and inviting me and inviting us to walk into all that he has given and opened up and made available for us in 2018. 2018 for you and for me and for us. So it's going to be for you personally. It's going to be for me personally, and it's going to be for us collectively. It's going to be a year, I believe, where God is going to remove barriers and invite you into the open living space that is good and bountiful for you to walk into and know that you are blessed. And as I saw this picture in my spirit, or vision in my spirit, immediately it was accompanied with a few verses of Psalm 16. And Psalm 16, and the verses I had was this, that, and this is the verse that complements the vision. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And I want to encourage you this morning to take that verse and make it your own. You could put your name in it if you wanted to, insert your name in the place of my. But this is for you. Lord, you have made, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. God gives you your portion in life. He gives it to you. And what God gives, no one can take away. And he has assigned your portion. The book of John says this: no one can receive anything apart from what God has given him. God has given you your portion, and it's there for you, and he invites you into it. God is good. He is good to you. And he wants you to walk in the open fields of his blessing this year. Now, when we have a word from God to focus on each season, it doesn't mean last year's word is now redundant. Do you remember last year's word? It was value people and walk in love. So now we're in 2018. It's suddenly think, oh, we don't value people and walk in love anymore. We kick that to touch. I don't have to value anybody or love anybody. No, what we do, we continue with what God has built and given us. And as we continue with what God has given in the past, it grows our capacity for God to continually speak into our lives, build on what he is doing and has done in our lives, so that we have a greater capacity to move into the new and greater things that God has given us. So don't forget and neglect what God has given you in the past and challenged us and invited us into in the past. But now we add to what we've already received. And in so doing, we grow. Now it is the nature of God to invite you into himself and to himself. And we have a God whose nature it is, an instinct it is, to bless you. God's instinct is to invite you into the more of who he is and what he has for you. And it's his instinct to bless you, that you may know his goodness in your life. The first thing he did when he created human beings, we read about it in Genesis chapter 1. The first thing he did to Adam and Eve was to bless them. When he created human beings for himself out of the dust of the earth, his first instinct was to bless them. God blessed them. That's his instinct. First reaction. Knee jerk. Oh, as a human being, want to bless. It's his first reaction. First time he looks at you, his reaction is to reach out and bless you. It's wonderful. It's who he is. He's good. He's loving. He's kind. He's gracious. I don't know if you feel that about yourself. But when God looks at you, He has an instinct reaction, a gut reaction, and it's to reach out and bless you. And the first time he saw Adam and Eve after he created them, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea and the birds of the sky, and over every creature that moves on the earth." Be fruitful, increase, fill. Fill the open spaces. Fill the earth. That's what he's saying to Adam and Eve. Now, that is a big blessing. And it's a big invitation. And just, I know how you're working on it. We see from this that God's instinct is to bless you, increase you, and open up landscapes to you. In Adam and Eve's case, it was the whole of the earth. But God in Psalm 16 has given you a portion. He set for you an inheritance, and it says the boundary lines. And those aren't boundary lines of restrictions. Those are boundary lines that you can see what God has given you and what you have to pursue and what he has invited you to run after and fill. Those boundary lines, says Psalm 16, have fallen for me in pleasant places. When God wanted to do a similar thing, he created a man and a woman and humanity out of the dust and the earth. And when he wanted to create a people or call a people for himself out of all the people of the earth that he had made, he decided on Abraham. This is how he responded to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm with you. I'm your great reward." And he took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and into the country and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to them, "So shall your offspring be." Abraham believed the Lord and credited him as righteousness. And he also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and give you this land to take possession of it." Very interesting words. Abraham was a traveler. He would have been living in his nomadic tents. He was an extremely wealthy man. So his tent probably would have been lavish, big. It wouldn't been like a one-man or a two-man tent for him and Sarah. It would have been, I don't know, it might have been a five-bedroom tent. I don't know what nomadic people in Abraham's day inspired to. But let me tell you this, it wouldn't have been a small thing. His caravan wouldn't have been a little tin thing with two wheels. It would have been a whole load of camels and sheep and an entourage and a massive thing. And it says, "And the Lord took Abraham outside." So Abraham had this tent, this construct, this living space that he was living in. And he says, "This is all very well, Abraham, what you have created for yourself, this living space that you're dwelling in. And I'm sure it's very nice, and it might be 5 or 6 or 7 bedrooms, who knows. But I want to show you my living space. I want to show you the living space that I've created, that not even all the grains of sand in the sea and the stars in the universe can contain. In fact, I have to keep expanding it. I want to show you that. So come on out from your living space into what I have for you." And he says, "Now count all the stars. Can you count them?" "No." He says, "Well, Abraham, even though you are nearly 100 years old, and you and your wife are barren, I'm going to bless you, and all the children that come out of your body, they will be greater. You will not be able to, they will be as numerous as the stars and the grains of sand on the sea." That is the Lord calling Abraham out of a small space into a much bigger space. And the faith that it would have taken for him to say yes must have been astonishing. Have you ever been challenged by the will of God, the want of God, the capacity of God, the desire of God, and what he wants you to do in your life. And you say, well, I can't do this, and surely can't do this for me. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the skill, the ability. I don't have it within me. And what I believe God wants has been waiting so long. Will it ever happen now? Well, Abraham felt like that. Abraham was an old man, barren without a child. But when God invited him into a bigger space, he had the courage to say yes. And in doing that, he walked into the blessing of God for his life. God's instinct is to bless you. His instinct is to invite you into his more. That's who he is. And this is what he wants for you in 2018. Now, there's three things I want to cover next about three aspects of our lives that he wants to bless you in and invite you into the more. They're not exhaustive or exclusive, but they're three to get us going for you to think on. The first area that God wants to bless and increase and open up your life to this year is in the area of relationships. Again, when we look at why God made Adam and Eve, he made them for relationship. And I'm not talking about marriage there. I'm talking about just relationship in general. He said everything that he made was good. And then when he saw Adam alone, he says, it's not good. I better make a human being so he can have somebody to hang out with. And then he said, be fruitful, so there's a whole bunch of you to hang out. It's talking about life and friendship and community and social interaction and doing life with your friends. And God wants to bless your relationships. And don't care who you are or what level of relationship you have, there's more and there's better and there's greater for us to grow into. Now, for some, this will mean God wants to bless the quality of your relationship and increase the space and the boundary and the blessing of the quality of your relationship. So the relationships that we have grow deeper and more meaningful, and they become richer, and they become a greater blessing to us and us to them, and more of God filters through those relationships to bring a wholeness and quality of life and blessing into our life. And for some, it's quantity. That he wants to increase the scope and the breadth of the people that are engaging and interacting in your life. It might be friendships, it might be community, it might be family, it might be marriage, it might be children, it might be work colleagues. It might even be your enemies. That the quality and the depth of your relationship with people that you don't get on with switches and changes. In Proverbs 16, it says this: when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. This year, God wants to take the lid off your relationships and my relationships and see that we have a wide open space of quantity and quality and newness to explore. The riches of one's life is not measured in how successful we are in our jobs and careers, or the amount of stuff or money that we grow and maintain and have and develop over the course of our life. In fact, Jesus himself says the richness of a man's life is not contained in the things that he owns, no matter how rich he may be. The richness of somebody's life, firstly and foremostly, is in our relationships. Proverbs says this: a wise man builds a house. That's your life. With wisdom a house is built, and with knowledge and understanding it's filled with rich and lavish and beautiful things. That's people. It's not a painting hanging on a wall, an ornament on a shelf, or a pound in a bank. It's the people that are invited into the dwelling room of your life that make you rich. When Sarah and I had only been married, I think our second year of marriage, and we were working in Hereford as church pastors and evangelists, and Rachel had been born 1 week, we had a prophetic word from a couple of visiting prophets, and Clem was one of them, and it was a defining word for our life. And this was the word, and it came through, and it said this: never forget it, it's come true. I will bless you with the blessing of the kingdom of God that cannot be measured in cents and dollars. It will be a blessing in your marriage, in your family, and in your children. And I will give you a house greater than you've believed for, and I will bring others into that house, and I will bless them there. And this is what the Lord defined as the blessing or the riches of the kingdom of God that aren't measured in cents and dollars, or if you want to translate it into English, pounds, shillings, and pence. We don't do shillings anymore. Or sixpences, or threepenny bits, or halfpennies. Anyway, move on. Sorry to all those people in that part of the room. Don't know what I'm talking about. And the more I've gone on, I realize that this is about people, and that house greater than you believe for is not about bricks and mortar, it's about the church. And it's about you and me and all that God has brought in, that we may be a blessing, that God may bless us, and we may be a blessing to each other and make our lives rich. 28 years ago, I met Rob and Tracy, Zeno, Alan and Jill, Faye. And a few years later, Sean and Adam and Tammy and others have been joining ever since. And what a blessing it is to go through life, year after year, with people, learning to forgive each other, learning to say sorry, learning to support, to celebrate the successes, be there in the challenges. What it is to be rich. To have a rich life. A life that is worth living. Because of people. And it's better to accumulate meaningful relationships than success in our jobs or in our bank balances or anything else. Not that these are in and of themselves wrong. God blesses those things too. But we must not put the cart before the horse. In the amazing book that I encourage you to read, Imagine Heaven, written by John Burke, where he researches thousands and thousands of people who have had near-death experiences and gone to heaven and then come back and narrowed it down to the common ingredients, the common things that everybody reports on. One of the things that they keep saying when they've gone to heaven and just before they've met Jesus, a welcoming party is sent to welcome them into heaven. And then they get to meet Jesus. And the welcoming party is the people that they know and have loved, who know the Lord and are now in heaven. And God puts a party together to welcome us into heaven so that we will be at peace and have no fear. I remember As a young boy, when my grandmother passed away, and my mother speaking to my father, because they were with her in the nursing home where she passed away, and just, I think it was just the day before she passed away, or a few hours, I can't remember the exact number, I remember the conversation, because I was eavesdropping. And here was the conversation, that my mother had a insight or a opening or a revelation into where she was going. And my grandmother, she said, I remember my mother saying to my father, my grandmother was sitting on the bed with her hands reaching up, almost like straining up towards heaven, saying this, oh, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy. And then she began to name her brothers who knew the Lord and had passed. And they were there waiting for her, greeting her when she goes. I wonder who's going to be in my welcoming party. I wonder who's going to be in your welcoming party. The older people get, I've observed something, not in every case, but I have observed something, the more lonely they can become. Rather than growing in the quantity and the quality of relationships, people's relationships can diminish. Yes, people pass on, they move away, but so many drift apart and separate through neglect, selfish behavior, distraction, immaturity of reaction, pride. But that's not God's intent. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be that you walk with people for 28, 30 years. And you anticipate being at their graveside one day. And you get to walk with them. And you're there when their kids are born. And they're just a few days old and you hold them in your arms and you bless them. And you're there at their dedication and at their baptism. And you can remember the time or the moment when they gave their lives to Christ. And even though that they were young, you know that something had happened in their life. And then when you send them off to school or university, you're there celebrating with the parents and saying, how are they doing? And sometimes you even get the privilege of marrying them or being at the wedding and seeing their grandchildren. How rich. You set my portion. And the boundaries have fallen for me in pleasant places. It doesn't have to be diminished as we go through life. But just as a rich man can accumulate treasure, we can accumulate the treasure of deep and meaningful relationships. And in 2018, God invites us into a relational landscape that is delightful and good for us. An invitation for us to be enlarged and be blessed by others. And just as Abraham says yes to God, and he walked through the gates of this astonishing blessing, we have the opportunity to say yes to God. And for some, for all of us, it will involve walking with Jesus. For some, it may involve learning and adjusting. It may involve some personal changes and changes of practice. It might involve reaching out to others, forgiving, making more room for others in your life, cultivating hospitality, breaking out of a restricted group or clique, to be enriched by new people, other people, different people. But God wants to bless you relationally in 2018. And as we give ourselves to that and invest in that and learn skills and give it thought, you will find that you walk through gates into a wide open space of God's blessing. Now, the other thing God wants to bless you in, we've got plenty of time, so 12 o'clock. And the first half is not as long as the second half. Second thing is this. God wants to bless you in your work. Whether it's paid or unpaid, because I know there's many volunteers in this room. Paid or unpaid, God wants to bless you in your work. And you might not be in working employment, you might be a student, but that's your work right now. That's the task he's given you to do, or school, and God wants to bless you. We're all called to work, you know. The Lord blesses our work, and to work is a blessing. Again, it's one of the first things he gave as a blessing to Adam and Eve. Let's look at it. Oh, hang on. Dylan Thomas says this. As you walk into Swansea Station, there's a pillar there, and there's an inscription from Dylan Thomas. And it says this, he who seeks rest finds boredom. He who seeks work finds rest. Work is good for us. We are made for it. And God wants to bless you in your work. So when God blessed Adam and Eve, one of the first things he gave, he says, tend the garden. Work it, care for it, manage it, increase it. Be industrious, do it daily. Work is a reward, and work has its reward, and work is a blessing. Proverbs says, those who work their land will have an abundance of food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. It will bring a reward to you. God wants to bless you in your workplace. Now, here's why. Nearly 8 hours of every day is in the workplace. And God, who made you, doesn't want to be absent from those 8 hours. He wants to fill those 8 hours with blessing and purpose and fruitfulness and meaningfulness. Work is not something we just want to get through to rush to the weekend. Work is something that God has called us to be a reward and a blessing to us and find a purpose in it. Even if it's in the kitchen, washing dishes. Now, Brother Lawrence was born in 1611. He wrote, somebody wrote of his life and his comments and his writings, the book Practicing the Presence of God. If you haven't read it, download it off the internet. It's free, but it is one of the classics of Christian living. It is an amazing book, and it will give you insights into the presence of God in your daily life that are gems. He was converted at 18 when he was looking at a tree, a barren tree in winter time. And as he reflected upon it, he realized that his life was barren, but since God had a life of fullness waiting for him. He was seized with a deep sense of love and gratitude for God and a deep respect of his power and providence. And so at 25, he applied to work in a monastery. And they put him working in the kitchens, peeling vegetables and washing dishes for 55 years. And he stayed there and towards the end of his life, when he was too weak to stand up for long periods of time, they allowed him to sit down, and he switched duties to mending the sandals of the monks. But his book that came out of his experiencing, practicing the presence of God, is one of the classics of Christian literature. And I want to encourage you to read it. And a quote that basically sums up the book and his life is this one. And this is from his experience of the kitchen. Can I have it on the slide, please? The time of business, that's working in the kitchen, does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and in the clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are all at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. He had learned to know the blessing and the presence of God in the everyday workspace, even the mundane. And God wants to fill your 8 hours and open up to you a wide space of his blessing and his richness that you could say, surely the 8 hours of my working day have fallen for me in pleasant places, even if you're washing dishes in the kitchen. And it comes down to the presence of God and the blessing of God and the fellowship of God and the purpose of God in our everyday. God wants to fill your working hours and make them rewarding and fruitful for you. Now, for most Christians, the workplace is their first place of calling. Most Christians are not called to be full-time Christian ministries in church life. They're called to be full-time Christian ministries in the workplace. And it is your first calling to the people around you, the presence that you bring, the work he wants to bless you with and increase you with. And for some of us, and for some, that is going to be a challenge this year, to know that God wants your workplace to be a place of blessing where you can say, this boundary, this space has fallen for me in pleasant places. Because it's faith that is required. It's a change of mindset to see God, activity and purpose and presence at work in your everyday. Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, Greek word metanoia, change your mind. Have a new mind. It's at hand. It's there for the taking. All of the blessing of the kingdom is there for the taking. But if you want to be able to take it into your life and reach out with, take it, you have to have, well, Sam, our friend Sam, is training to be a brain surgeon. It's not brain surgery we need. It's a brain transplant. A change of brain, a change of thinking, a change of mind. Paul says it this way, do not think like the world, have your mind changed, be changed by the changed mind, that you may know in your experience the perfect, good will of God. That's a paraphrase of being said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world's thinking, but be changed by the renewal of your mind that you may prove the perfect, good, pleasing will of God. Oh, the pleasing will of God, the pleasant boundaries. How can I know the pleasing boundaries and ways of God in my mind, in my everyday? Well, have your mind renewed. Have your mind changed. Jesus said the same thing. Change your mind, the kingdom, and all that the kingdom brings to you is at hand, and you can take it into your life. You can take it into your 8 days of work every day. You can take it. But in order to do that, you have to be able to do it by faith. In order to do that, you have to have a mind change. You have to think differently and see your world opening up. It might involve asking God to be involved in your life and workplace every day. For some, it might be every half hour. For some, it might be every moment. Looking for God's opportunities to grow you and fellowship with you. Looking for God's opportunities to be blessed and to bless others. Looking to serve God through your daily work. Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for human masters. And so again, this may require some learning and growing to enter into all that God has for you in the workplace. But let me assure you of this. God does not want to be absent from your 8 hours of every day, of 5 days or 6 days a week. He wants to be very present and very purposeful and at work. The Lord wants to bless you. Joseph was called to be a rescuer and a deliverer. He had a grand scheme in his mind that God had given him to be a person of great influence and a great leader. But for the first 15 years of his working life, his environment was a huge challenge. And even when his employment seemed more like a prison than a blessing, God was there opening up his future to him. It says, whilst Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And he was doing something in the 8 hours of that restricted environment. So one of the keys to blessing is to believe God for 2018 and let it inspire your prayers and influence your mindset and your attitude and motivate you for greater and better things. And finally, your service and ministry in the church. Now, everything we've talked about, relationship and workplace, are actually ministry to God, as equal as any other, because that's your calling. But in addition to our ministry in the everyday, we're called to make a contribution to the corporate as well. Because you and I together are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and together we are the temple of the living God. And it says the whole body joined and held up together and with every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And there's a verse in the book of Kings that says this. The Israelites sacrificed on the high places because there was no temple in the land. If we want to see people not being led astray spiritually, we have to build a temple in the land that is present, that people come to, and they worship and they learn and fellowship and know the presence of God corporately. It's called the church. God wants to grow you and bless you as you use your gifts this year. And so it says in Scripture, stir up your gifts or fan into flame the gift that God has given you. Now, God wants to increase your space, enlarge your space. That includes your gifts. It's so easy to go year in, year on. And we are using our gifts but not growing. We're not increasing. We're not getting more anointing, more power, more presence, sharper. God wants you to increase, that you know what it is to grow in the ministries that God has given you. Whether it be prophecy or healing or evangelism or teaching or Sunday school or small group or serving or wisdom, encouragement, mercy, help, giving, administration, worship, singing, sound, media, whatever it is. God wants you to grow in his anointing, grow in Holy Spirit expertise, grow in power and fruitfulness. He's appointed you to bear more fruit and much fruit, and to know God's blessing and experience of his favor and anointing when you serve him in these gifts, and seeing growth and change through you and in you and through others, increasingly so. So why not make it a goal this year to enlarge your spiritual ministry capacity? Why don't you learn, if you never prophesied, why don't you say, I'm going to learn to prophesy this year. I'm going to learn to heal the sick this year. I'm going to learn to lead somebody to the Lord this year. And if you do prophesy, heal the sick, and lead people to the Lord as examples, why don't you say, I'm going to step it up this year? In the summer, as we're meeting with our small group leaders, Sarah brought to us a little teaching, a challenge, and it's called A Summer of Learning. And she said, why don't we make this year, summer, a summer of learning where we all grow in an area of our life or ministry? And we prayed, and I prayed, and I said, what is it you want me to grow in? And I felt the Lord said, word of knowledge. Now, I have words of knowledge. I am prophetic. I've been prophetic. I was called hearing the voice of God. So I know what it is to be prophetic. I felt the Lord challenged me to be more prophetic and grow. So I gave the summer over to it. And I got some great books. One was Translating God. I've recommended it to a few people. It'll blow your socks off. It really challenged me and grew me. And I decided to become more accurate in my words of knowledge. Not general, but more accurate. So that when I spoke into people's lives about the details of their lives, it would cause them to be stunned and give their lives to Christ. I've been at this 30-odd years. And I was being challenged to grow. If you've been prophesying, why don't you say, I'm going to grow this year. I'm going to learn to really get more revelation. I'm going to see more people healed and greater healings. But whatever your gift is, God wants to enlarge your space and increase your boundary that you can say, surely this is a good place. And the point is, God wants to grow you so that you can know more of him and more of his power in your life and through your life, especially as you use your gifts to bless others and win people to Christ. So there's a wide landscape opening up for us in 2018. And with abandon, passion, and eagerness to possess it all, let's go for it. Possess your inheritance. Explore it to the edges. Run to the boundaries that God has opened up for you. The boundaries aren't there like a brick wall to keep you in. The boundaries are there to say, look at all I've got and haven't discovered yet. Run to the boundaries. Take it as far as you can. It's God's instinct to bless you and invite you into the more. Adam, I've made this wonderful garden for you. Do you like it? Ooh, yes, it's lovely, Lord. Look at all the trees and the fruit that I can eat. Yes, don't get too content with it. Fill the earth. Take what you got here and let it fill the earth. Really? Yes, it's my instinct to bless you and invite you into pleasant boundaries. You are my lot and my portion. You've made it secure. You have given me a delightful inheritance. You've set my boundaries in pleasant places. Fill the earth. Run to the edges. Discover the boundaries. Adventure in God. Accept the invitation into the pleasant places. Know the goodness of God in the land of the living. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You've made my lot secure. My boundary lines have fallen for me in present places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And 2018, the fence is open. The barriers are down. The invitation has been issued. Come on. And live every day in the light of this message. Start it in the light of this message. Evaluate it in the light of this message and see what God will do for you at the end of 2018. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Now, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand because I want to ask God to bless us and to help us run into all that he has for us. But before I do that, I'm going to do this. I want to make this deeply personal for you. I'd like you to talk to the Lord about anything that has spoken to you and resonated with you, connected through you through this morning's message. Make a decision to run through those gates and explore those boundary lines in the light of everything I've said. And when you're ready, stand saying, as a sign saying, Lord, help me do this. Because we all do it by his grace, not by our own strength. Help me do this. And after a few moments, then I will pray for all of us. Stand when you're ready, after you've had a few moments of chatting to Jesus about this morning's message. Okay, with your eyes closed now, just turn your hands towards the Lord to receive his blessing. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and give you power, help, to walk through those gates and possess all that God has given to you. To begin that journey 2018. We won't fulfill it all in 2018. It's just the starting gun. Just a reminder. But everything we have comes from God, and everything we achieve comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask him now, and as he comes, just receive by faith the help of God, who is the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask him to come, and then we wait. We wait. And then I'll pray again, and we wait. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, come now, I pray. And as you rested upon Jesus' body so that he could do the ministry that the Father had called him to in power, come now, Holy Spirit, and rest again in power upon our lives. Come and be our helper and give power, faith, strength, understanding, and everything we need to live in the space that you've called us to. Come, Holy Spirit, now. In Jesus' name. Just wait. Come more powerfully. Holy Spirit. Fill your people. Fill them. Fill them again. Fill them again. Fill. Come and renew our mindsets. Fill our hearts with faith and hope. Break off old disappointments that would nag and niggle and say it can't be done. Let us see the invitation and the wide open gates. And I pray you'll open eyes with fresh vision here today, that we may walk into what we see. Come, Holy Spirit, again. Now, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. May his face shine upon you, and may his favor rest upon everything that you do in his name and by faith in his name. May you know his presence and his fellowship. May you know his gifts and his help. May you know his wisdom and his fruit. May you be guided and protected by the hand of Almighty God. In the authority of Jesus' name, I bless you and all that you put your hand to in his name. For 2018. May this year be a year of great fruit and rejoicing for you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.